G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. The Howie Games aims to bring you stories you haven't heard before, like this one from Melbourne Cup winning jockey, Jim the Pumper Cassidy.
I got the grey nurses, the $100 bills,
the big hundreds.
Changed into 20s,
so
and my mate said, what are you doing that for? I said, I'll show you. So we got back to the hotel room. Pump took all his gear off, got the Melbourne Cup whip, tipped all the money on the bed, and for 1 hour I was literally just rolling in cash.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranella. They're closer than you think. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, g'day, Roo. How are you this morning on this Wednesday morning?
Oh, very good, Dits. Very good. Thank you.
Big, big day coming up for us. Big Mal joins us being a Wednesday morning. We love talking to Big Mal.
We love talking to Big Mal. We love talking to Hamish Hartlett. He's going to join us.
Well, haven't we got some questions for him today?
After you jinxed him last week.
No,
remember you started
I didn't.
Talking about buying finals tickets with Jackson Trengove? And I said, oh!
Do you think Port Adelaide are going to play finals?
What, were you going to watch the Crows, were you?
Well, this is my point. So if I ask him for finals tickets, what's wrong with that?
That means you're getting ahead of yourself.
Do you think Port Adelaide are going to play finals?
Well, I'm not so sure after the weekend.
Oh,
no, of course you will.
Well, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, but that's sort of like asking for grand final tickets and that. That's what happens.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Scotty Thompson pulled the pin yesterday.
Yeah, made it official. I think I don't think there was too many people thought he was going to play on in 2018, but... let's hope he's still got a fairy tale to play out. I was really hoping the other week when he played that game. I genuinely thought he'd come in and get 25 touches and play a role. It didn't go that way on the night, but I still think there's a possibility if a couple of the midfielders get injured that he might be able to play a role towards the end of the home and away season.
He's been very resilient, hasn't he?
Amazing career. Yeah. Honestly, he's an amazing career. So we'll have a chat to him later on, which will be fantastic.
He's a good bloke too. He's always one of these fellas, always in a good mood. Always got a smile for you.
Yep.
He's a good lad.
No, he's a ripper.
All right, another big day coming up here. Ruined Dits on Triple M, thanks to Southern Volkswagen.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
17, partly cloudy today. Now, Roo, let's go back a month or so, and Tom Koutsantonis threw the cat among the pigeons by announcing a bank tax here in South Australia.
Yep.
And not everyone's agreeable. In fact, hardly anybody is on side with it.
Well, the opposition have voted against it, so it won't go ahead, and even the public voted against it, so it won't go ahead in South Australia,
but
what
now,
I understand.
Western Australia have come out and said they are considering it as well.
Yeah.
So their Labor government over there and Premier Mark McGowan says that they are in debt in a big way in WA, and he is looking at the same thing.
It's hard to understand how WA are in debt the way they are after having the longest mining boom in the history of Australia.
Mm.
I don't know what they did, but they must have overspent a hell of a lot on infrastructure or something and thought the good times were going to go on forever. But they've got themselves in a bad situation. You know how I said in South Australia, for every dollar South Australians spend on GST, we get $1.42 or $1.44 back from the federal government?
Yep.
Apparently they get about 40 cents in the dollar or 60 cents in the dollar back. They get absolutely shafted by... the GST, and it costs them a fortune, and that is one of the reasons probably why they're in a bit of debt, because they were getting so many royalties from mining taxes that the federal government didn't think they deserved the...
they didn't need as much.
They didn't need it, but they obviously do.
Well, just one building alone, Roo, the new football stadium over there is $1 billion. Now, we didn't start from scratch here with Adelaide Oval, but we spent $500 million for round figures, $550. They're going double ours. Now, that's a burden on their state, surely.
Well, you'd ask the question, why, I suppose. But I guess they didn't have a sec. Well, they did. They did that. They've got the Wacker and they've got Subiaco. So they could have done one of those two.
Yeah.
And the Wacker is right in the city.
Hmm.
Don't know why they didn't do that, one or the other. And even if they did Subi and played at the Wacker for a year or...
Yeah.
But now they're going to have three decent ovals. Do they need it? I don't know. But maybe they are, you know, a bit flippant with their spending.
Yeah, seems to be the case. Hey, you know, for years, certainly in our lifetime, tobacco advertising's been banned, right?
Sure has.
And the tobacco companies the world over have tried to sneaky little things, different ways to try and advertise and then that gets shut down, and they think of another idea, and that gets shut down. I mean, one thing I've been told...
World Series cricket was the big one, wasn't it? Benson and Edges.
Yeah, there was always those sorts of things. B&H sponsored everything. Marlborough sponsored everything. Mm. Now
Winfield Cup.
Yeah, all of that.
Footy.
You're right, yes. But you know, there was Escort Cup.
Escort Cup.
Yeah. Anyway, we've just mentioned every cigarette brand in the world, don't we? We're not meant to. But anyway, they get movie stars, for example, now in movies to light up. They think that that's a great way, subliminally, to get kids sitting in theatres to go, oh, they're having a cigarette.
Warning. You
know? Yeah, all of that warning. So the latest, now, I'm not into social media, but you know the Jenners, these the two very nice-looking girls who are related somehow to the Kardashians, aren't they?
Yep.
Is it Kendall Jenner and Kyle Jenner?
Not sure.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. But anyway, one of them, overnight, because she's got millions of followers the world over, is cleverly now posting photos, and every time she posts a photo, she's having a fag.
Right, deliberately.
The Cancer Council has now come in and said, we want her stopped.
Has it got the brand of cigarette or anything attached to it and any writing?
I don't follow her, Roo, as the term goes.
Who told you?
A follower told me.
Right.
Yeah. No, but she's posting photos, and this is the latest way that the cigarette companies are getting kids to see someone like her, who they like.
Exactly why our laws need to keep being updated for social media, isn't it? Because they're going to find ways to get around it, even if it's only for a month or a few months. That's just how smart and desperate they are to get a bit of exposure.
Yeah, clever.
Yeah, so...
very clever. The last thing making news around the place, Roo, is that last night, quite innocently, said to the lucky Kate, I said, oh, tomorrow night, as usual, Wednesday night, get the kids out for tea. We'll go somewhere for dinner.
Yeah, because you always go once a week, do you?
Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday.
She just looked at me. Honestly, if she had a, I don't know, if she had a bow and arrow or a gun or something, I'd be dead.
Don't say crossbow.
No, I didn't. But she just looked at me like, you are the worst person I've ever, ever met in my life. I thought, what have I done wrong here? I said, we're going out for dinner.
Mm.
Batchy. Is what I got.
Batchy. What?
Batchy came the reply.
What's Batchy?
So what the hell? Exactly. I said, Batchy, what the hell are you talking about? The Bachelor or Bachelorette or something. Back on tonight, Roo. So I'm just warning all the men.
Hang on.
I'm just warning all the men out there in South Australia tonight at 7:30, they become zombies.
When
right?
has it become known as Batchy?
Oh, God knows. But that's what she hit me with. Should you realise Batchy is back
it's
on?
It's got a nickname.
Yeah.
It's good.
So now, and apparently, so now it's not only her. I've got the sister-in-law, the nieces, everyone on the couch, and I can.
We
do,
all know you love it, Dids.
No.
We know you'll be reminding Kate in a couple of weeks.
I can vanish. I could stand nude in the lounge room, and no one will notice me. Seriously,
I don't know. That's quite true.
They are glued.
Everyone
to
saw you in the crocodile cage, Dids, and me. Yeah. I've had a bit of feedback about that, by the way.
Have you?
Yes.
Positive?
No, we look very puffy and white.
No, like I said, yeah, that's the refraction of the water, you know.
The light?
Yeah, the light and everything, the angle of the dangle.
They've got to do something about that.
They do.
Crocosaurus Cove, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
It's not good for us.
Get a tubular thing that's like those mirrors at the Royal Show where we look buffed, please.
Mm.
Yeah.
Get more people in it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's making news around the place.
I only have time for one breakfast show. Ruin Dits for breakfast.
The Governor General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, I wonder how he's enjoying the debacle within the Greens. Let's find out. Let's go to Big Mal, the number one man in the country this morning. How are you, Big Mal?
I'm very well indeed. Good morning to you, Dits, and hello to you, Ruin, everybody in Adelaide.
Are there any Australian citizens in the Greens party?
The Greens are in complete disarray. Two senators, of course, having to resign because they've got dual citizenship. It's amateur hour over at Hippie Central. And if you want to be in the main game, behave like adults. I mean, there's a box asking you what nationality you are. Just answer it. And I've got some suggestions for the Greens and Greens voters. So write this down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wash your hair. I mean, really, rubbing your genitals with a crystal isn't personal hygiene.
No.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. And buy some clothes made by a fashion label. Not crocheted by a filthy market stall holder called Moonbeam. Vaccinate your children. I mean, and take that dream catcher off your rearview mirror. It's just a distraction.
Mm.
And there's other vehicles apart from a Subaru Forester. I mean, really, they really love them. Caked in mud, driving their filthy unvaccinated children around.
Mm.
I mean, really and truly.
And shave your armpits.
Shave your armpits. Shave your face.
hey, you're teeing off at a few people this morning, Big Mal. You got any advice for anyone else at the moment?
Well, I have, Roo.
Right.
I mean, people keep talking about a housing crisis. There's no crisis. you know, you pick up the Advertiser on a Saturday, there's a huge real estate section. Go on to realestate.com.au. There's thousands of houses for sale. Just bloody buy one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't got the money, speak to your parents or some of their friends, get some startup capital and get a house. And if you're living in Adelaide, I'm sorry, guys, but you're camping. Get in it at Vaucluse or Watson's Bay and work your way down to Point Park.
Right. Good advice. Not,
if you haven't got a harbour view, you are camping.
Right. The tents.
Hey, listen, have you been out and about a bit? You sound a bit dusty this morning, big
well,
man.
Well, I am dusty. Thank you for noticing, Ditz. I got on it last night with Matthias Cormann.
Right.
We had a few tangerines over dinner, and then we got on the Jägermeisters, the Vibbly Vobbly Man, and he could really go hard, too. I tell you what, when he's pissed, his Colonel Klink impersonation is hilarious.
Oh, I'll bet it is.
I mean, he does the whole cast. Major Hochstetter. General Burkholder.
Yep.
He is very, very funny.
What about, can I question his nationality or not? He's got his citizenship sorted?
Oh, I don't think you want to go the Germans.
No, you're right.
They cut up rough. forget the 40s. They went berserk. So, yeah.
Leave that alone, yeah.
Matthias is a true Aussie. Just have to listen to that wonderful accent of his.
Now, what are you singing in your head at the moment? If you'd had a few last night, what were you humming to?
We've got a bit of a modern classic on. You know, see if you can pick this. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
I think this is called the Happy Song, isn't it?
It's Pharrell Williams, the Happy Song.
There you go.
Yes, and Lucy came downstairs and said, for goodness sake, Malcolm, you're drunk. Go to bed.
What time was that, big man, if you don't mind me asking?
It was about 3:30.
Oh, gee, you have tied one on.
I've got glitter all over my face.
Like Lauren Murray, you know what to do with that.
All right. Hey, good on you, big Mal. Before you leave us.
Before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks Westlake.
Yeah, Westlake.
The home of football.
We had a big retirement yesterday. Good luck to you, Scotty, and well done, boys.
Yeah, he plays for the Roosters, doesn't he?
Well done.
He does very well. He plays good. He does some great catching and jumping and running. Good sport.
There you go, the extent of Big Mal's football knowledge.
He loves his footy.
We love Big Mal too.
Roo and Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, something I said yesterday, sometimes you say something on this show and, you know, it just goes through to the keeper and you don't think much more about it. Well,
a lot of the
did
time,
I get a reaction yesterday? I was out and about. I was sort of verbally getting slapped around the head by everyone, all these blokes lining up to say, you idiot, you moron, what are you on about? I cop this all day.
Well, they thought you were lying. Let's not beat around the bush, Dits.
We don't
tell fibs on this show. But yesterday in the Angels segment, we were talking about whether sometimes we need to schedule in times to have a cuddle, just so that we know when both the male and the female are ready to go.
Well, I think we established that men are just ready to go all the time, but women, you know, you got to give them sometimes a week's notice, or can we book it in Sunday?
A lot of things have to line up.
Or have you done the dishes, made the bed? You know, all that's
got a headache.
Out for me. Haven't got a headache.
Like,
a lot of things
have to
be in alignment, don't they?
Yeah, let's have a listen to what we found out about you.
Got a message here from Miss Dittmar.
Oh,
because you said you were evergreen and that you always wanted it. She has written a text to me saying, the other night, Ditz had an excuse for not wanting a special cuddle. He said he was too full after dinner.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you can't have room.
They quoted Ditz, were you?
Can't perform on a full stomach. No.
Come on.
No, but this is the other thing
they
do.
How do you work it off?
No, you can't do it when you're chock-a-block full in your stomach.
Of course you can.
No, I get stitch.
You're eating too much.
Oh, my God. You get the stitch.
Imagine you've just had a huge evening meal.
You do not knock it back.
And you're laying back on the couch and you feel bloated. You feel like King
Tut. I can imagine all that. That happens regularly.
No, you can't. You can't do it, you know.
I just cannot imagine you knocking it back, no matter what state you're in.
What about when you're like Humpty Dumpty and you can't move?
Get the job done, yeah. There's a will, there's a way. Oh. You would not. I reckon Kate's lying just to try and cover you there.
No, unfortunately, she's not.
Oh, God.
Is there ever a time where you say no, Ruth?
No, there would be if I got asked at a time where I didn't want to do it. Like if it just had a blue or something and I wasn't ready to make up, but I would never get asked from the wife after that. So, no, I don't think I do, and I'm not trying to sound I'm evergreen either. But
ever ready, you're a stallion. There's no doubt about
well,
that.
I've done it with four kids on the end of the bed. That's an example of the lengths I'm prepared to go to to get the job done.
Kids just get on the iPad
just
for a minute.
TV, watch the TV, the other end of the bed. So I want to hear from our listeners though, Dits. I think people out there would have some interesting ones. Maybe a bit like yours, where you feel when you're a bit round.
I need to hear
a bit
from the blokes. I mean, back me up here, because we know women find every bloody excuse in the book.
All the basic.
They're world
ones.
Champions at it, but blokes, absolutely. Is there ever a time that you say no? That
and
you
just keep it clean. Keep it clean.
Yeah, I mean, I need a bit of psychological backup here because I've been absolutely belted yesterday. Everywhere. Everywhere
if you got
I went.
Tapped on the shoulder in the middle of the night, you're always up for it, surely.
Yeah.
You know, we're not, it's not that. See, if you do that to, you know,
I'm that
rare.
I preempt the tap. I know it's coming. You just, you know, you're ready to pounce. Anyway, 1-3-3-5-3.
Because your stomach sort of gone away.
By then, it's, that's right.
Had a few farts.
Dissipated by then.
Yeah, should have gone to the toilet.
And maybe. That really gets her romantic, yeah. 1-3-3-5-3, fellas, is there ever a time? Please help me out here. There's got to be
a time.
And
we'll decide if it's acceptable
when
or
you
not.
Do say no, surely.
And we got some tickets to give away to Port and St Kilda this week.
We have. Yep. 1-3-3-5-3. And help me out with this full stomach theory, too. You can't when you've had a big three-course meal.
It's not easy, but you can still do it, I think, dudes.
You're a fighter. You put in, don't you against the odds.
You got to.
Righto, 1-3-3-5-3, fellas, help me out.
Triple M.
We don't knock it back too often, dudes, but sometimes you do when you've got a full belly like you. So give us a call, males out there. We want to let us know when you do knock it back, or even wives and girlfriends, if your hubby has... knocked it back on some occasion. We want to hear the different excuses. Let's go to Seacliff. G'day, Blake.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, Blake.
Thanks for ringing in.
When do you say no?
Now, Dits, I've got to say, I do say no after training and after games sometimes. You know, sometimes
after
it's
footy.
Pretty hard when you lose every week and, you know, get up and about. You've got to try and get up and about. Sometimes you've got to put some things on the back burner.
Yeah. No, I can
really,
relate to
I would
that.
Have thought if you've been losing all the time, it's time for a win.
Yeah, sometimes, but then, you know, you get upstairs at Club Marion and have a palmy and goes all right after that. And sometimes you don't need it.
Good little setup down there at Club Marion, isn't it?
Yeah, good setup and big game this week for us, fellas.
Who are you playing?
Got OSB Lonsdale at home.
Ooh, righto, big Southern clash.
Just making this clear, you'd rather have a palmy than have a cuddle with your wife or girlfriend.
Sometimes it's just, you know, your bus goes training and just not there sometimes.
Have you got a partner? Have you got a partner or a wife?
Not at this stage, no.
Right, okay.
I can see why.
Gee.
But anyway,
no wonder.
Enjoy your palmy. Blake.
Yeah, cuddle your palmy in bed tonight, yeah.
Righto. Connor, when can you say no?
Yeah, I'm a ditz on this one after a big meal.
Oh, Connor, thank you.
Come on, Connor.
So you understand, don't you, Connor?
Yeah, mate, I'm a 19-year-old young buck, and if I can't do it, surely you can understand why Dits can't.
Have you got a sort of a decent belly, Connor, or do you know, just like a good feed?
Yeah, I've got a good feed. I mean, I'm still fit as, but still stops me in my tracks. Yeah. Get a cramp halfway through. Yeah.
Mate, at 19, there's just no excuse. I don't care how full we are.
I can claim it later.
You can just defer it for a little while. I'm not saying it's definitely off the cards, but not immediately. So give me an hour or two. Give
Connor,
me an hour or two.
Connor, I'm worried about you
Connor.
Later on.
Good lad.
That's the start of bad things. Let's go to, we're back at Moore Vale again. Brad.
How you going, guys?
When do you say no?
When I've got an injury from footy, a fake one.
Oh, you fake an injury or you...
Fake an injury, yeah. I've done some ribs or something. Friggin' can't be bothered doing it, so too sore.
Righto. Gee, Brad.
I thought you usually get a sympathy one then.
Yeah.
That's an opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not a reason to knock it back.
No.
God, let's go to Heather at Hallett Cove. G'day, Heather.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Are you going to dob in your husband or...
No, he's not too bad most of the time, unless he's sick. But in reality, you guys said that women have any excuse and they'll turn it down, like they haven't done a piece of housework. Well, maybe if you got off your backsides, behaved like men around the house and were partners and did that work for them, you might not get knocked back as often.
Oh, geez.
It's a fair trade-off.
Sounds like your husband's not carrying his own weight around your joint.
Yeah.
Let's go to Lockley's. G'day, Chris.
G'day, how you going, guys? Yeah, oh, sorry, I reckon Ditz is a bit of a wimp here and he's letting the male side down.
Oh,
I reckon going back 35 years ago, I reckon, roughly, and I would have been in my 20s, so I had age on my side. I worked Christmas party, Christmas Eve, pissed as a newt. I've come home. We've started drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning, sneaking a few in the store, gone through, and I've left work about 8:30, got home about 9. Chundered.
Nice. Oh,
quarter past 10, no problems.
Oh, Chris.
Wow. I'll be honest. Maybe there has been times when I've said no, but I'd like to know when. I've been married for 40 years, and I don't remember ever having said no, knocking it back. But honestly, to remember over everything over 40 years, it has to be ridiculous.
Good on you, Chris. Well done. Let's go to Seton. Let's go to Seton. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, boys.
Do you say no, Andrew?
Yeah, I had a missus a fair while ago, and she thought that that's all I was about and that's all I wanted. So I did the old reverse psychology. Oh. And I would say no just to turn the tables.
Right.
So basically, I had the power in the end, and she started to feel like men feel on a fair, regular occasion.
Mm. Right. So
she started jumping
the mind games.
Basically, yeah. So then I got married a fair few years later, and that does not work anymore. It can go months now. So,
You have heard, Roo, the old saying, there's the one bit of food that stops a woman wanting it, don't you?
What is it?
Wedding cake. Apparently that turns them off forever. Yeah. Let's go to Tim at Salisbury. G'day, Tim.
How you going, boys? All right.
Righto, yeah, Timmy. Good, Tim. Do you ever knock it back?
No, mate, never. I'm with you, Roo. Yeah. The one you knock back, the one you never get back.
That's right, Timmy. Right, even with a full belly.
That's right, champ. That's it.
Tim. Thanks, Tim. Righto. Hang on, Alice the Wag's coming to join us. What have you got for us?
Hello, I've just had another text message from Miss Dittmar.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, she's banned. Great. She's got to be banned, seriously.
I was worried it was my wife.
God. What now?
It says, in Ditz's defence, 8 years ago, on the night he had a brain hemorrhage, he made me climb into his hospital bed when the nurse went out.
Now, that's putting in above and beyond, surely. Do I get any points back for that?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I was about to die.
That's exactly what I expect from you,
Kate. Kate looked at me, she said, are you serious? I said, well, I might die. I need to get one,
give me a farewell one, babe. And she did.
Yep.
Good on you, Kate.
And I'm still here. I'm still alive.
Good on you, Kate.
There you go. Jeez. She was horrified, though. She just looked at me and said, are you serious?
You feel worse with a full belly than you do after a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate my food, Ruth. You know that.
You put nothing in front of food, do you?
No.
Nothing.
No.
Food's number one.
No. Correct. Hey, I'll go past Great Al McPherson stuff, Kate. To get that chop. Don't worry about that. Actually, that was the wrong word to use.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Hey, now, are we going to send Blake from Seacliff? Because he's the one who
goes. I need to send Kate.
Yeah,
he's been dominated this conversation.
This is the only time Kate and I communicate, by the way, via these text messages on air. Blake from Seacliff, mate, we're going to send you off to the footy because he needs a bit of think time. He goes to the Palmy at the Marion Footy Club before going home for...
He needs a life, Blake.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks and routines of the healthiest, happiest and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Triple M. Comwire IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartman and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Oh, he's trying to soften us up. He's brought coffees this
week. That's what I was thinking too.
Has it worked?
Yeah, well,
it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing. It only took you half a year to wake up.
Yeah, well, I reckon I've done it once before. You blokes weren't here bloody 2 weeks ago, so I couldn't look after you then.
You have a break every day, then. We work hard.
Crikey.
And now to rest 10 weeks ago, we needed another holiday.
That's right.
School teachers.
Yeah, let's get to it, Hammer. Your summary of the weekend. What went wrong right from the start?
Basically, when the pressure was really on, so the start of the game in particular, we didn't play the way we have played for a majority of the year. There was certain structures that didn't break down, that broke down, I should say, and we didn't stick to. Obviously, the contested possession and the contest wasn't there right from the get-go until the second half when we started to sort of get things back on our terms a little bit. So
why did that happen, do you reckon? Because you knew they would have been a bit fired after a bad loss to Adelaide the week before.
We knew that they were going to bring plenty of pressure and numbers around the footy. That's the way they've played all year. We weren't able to cope with the pressure that they were applying to us. And I think when that happens, you can become quite fuzzy, I suppose, in the mind, and your thoughts start to go elsewhere rather than, all right, what do I have to do at the next contest? Where do I need to be? How do I need to set up? And if we do that and execute that the way we should, things will get back on track.
So there's been two games this year. One was the Essendon game and then that one against Melbourne where, and I think even Ken Hinckley has said it as well, but a lot of people are saying it looked like you didn't turn up. You weren't ready at the opening bounce. You know, it was a real slow start and sluggish start. And at one stage, I think the scoreline was about 50-5. I mean, that's a big, big discrepancy, isn't it? And you talk about contested ball and the things that you like to win, but I mean, it was just miles apart from what Melbourne were offering to what Port Adelaide offered, really.
Yeah, and you know, the guys in the midfield have put their hand up and said, "Yeah, we weren't good enough right from the get go."
And that hasn't happened much, though.
That hasn't happened at all. And probably for the first time this year, you know, Paddy was really challenged in the ruck. I thought he responded incredibly well in the second half, but Max Gawn was playing some really good footy in that first half. So then the responsibility does come down to the rest of us as to sticking your head over the ball when you have to. We thought that Melbourne's tackling was outstanding and ours wasn't so good, and that's been a little bit of a problem of ours for the last few weeks is the number of tackles that have been broken as well. So certainly an area to focus on as well going forward.
What about the skills? Because I think you are a skillful team. And when you play well, it all looks skillful. But gee, a lot of kicks just going straight to the opposition and it's easy for me to say this, but seemingly not under pressure, but maybe I'm wrong there. And I don't want to single out one bloke, but even right at the end when you were making a charge, Charlie Dixon marked it at half forward and kicked sideways and hit a Melbourne bloke right on the chest 10 metres away. And you think, I'm not just singling him out, but it's just one I remember. And I thought, this has been happening all day. It was just one of those games.
Yeah, and like I mentioned just before, Dits, I think when you are under the pump, the really good teams still stick to their structures around the ground and know exactly where everyone's going to be. So then those decisions become easier and it's easier to execute those skills. And, you know, when we're not setting up correctly and understanding what's actually happening in the game. So, for example, we had Justin Westhoff behind the ball at one stage pretty early on in the game to stem the flow a little bit, I suppose. And so we've got to recognise that we're one less forward, you know, up the ground. So we can't just sort of roll and go and kick to no one down the ground. So that's an opportunity for us to control the ball. From there, you can actually set up the ground the way you want to once you've found a mark, and then be able to chip the ball through the opposition. And for whatever reason, we weren't able to recognise those circumstances, and it probably led to us pretty poor disposal throughout the day.
Yeah, it's no good. It was a big game, and Chad Wingard doesn't sound like he's going to be right for a while either. When you do that part of your ankle, it can take a fair while. So 2 to 4 weeks, they're talking?
Yeah, I think that's the word. Chaddy wasn't at the club yesterday. He's just at home icing up all day. But, you know, those ones on the inside of the ankle can sort of hang around
take
for a little
longer.
Bit. So you want to get on top of them as soon as you can. We know Chaddy's, he looks after his body really well, so he'll be back sooner rather than later.
I always think the defence is really, really good, you know, and we know that Homsch has been dropped, Pittard's been dropped, but when they're all up and about, I think the back six is really solid. Jonas is having a great year.
Yeah, standing.
But again, on the weekend, it was a bit shaky, wasn't it? For the first time this season, I thought the defence was, a little bit shaky.
Yeah, probably early on, you know, a real highlight of ours, I think, this year has been our ability to get off our opponents and impact, you know, one-on-one contests in the air, you know, help our mate out aerially. And we probably didn't do that as well as we would have liked early on in the game. I thought, again, in the second half, we started to win a few more of those battles. Tommy Jones in particular was outstanding. And, you know, like you say, when Jack Homption and Jasper are up and about, they certainly add to us as a group back there. So they played really well in the SNFL on the weekend. So we look forward to welcoming them back, I think.
What is he injured, Pittard, or not?
Look,
has he got a groin injury that he's sort of trying to play with?
There's lots of guys that have got little niggles here
but
and there.
He's obviously having a little bit of an impact on his form.
Yeah, I think you know, in Jasper's case, his power is a huge strength of his, and his ability to break away from his opponent in contests. And he's probably slightly off in that area at the moment, but nothing of major concern. He certainly showed that he can still do that in the lower grades.
Tell him nothing. Showdown's in 2 weeks. Just give him nothing. That's what he's all about. Yeah. Look at him. Little smile over there.
Yeah, true. Actually, I always forget you're on the board over there.
Yeah, I can separate that.
Be careful.
Oh, you can separate radio. That, can you?
I just thought he must have been going to Melbourne or something.
He's fine.
Like, is he fine?
He's fantastic. Okay. Getting ready for the showdown.
What about Eddie? Is he going to be all right or what?
Eddie will be all right. Yeah. Lever will be all right.
Good question, Hammer.
You'll be full strength next week. Yeah,
righto. More with Hammer in just a moment.
You just St Kilda.
Ruined it on Triple M.
Triple M. Comwire IT. Complete IT and cloud solutions business.
Handball off to Hartman and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
Ruined dits for breakfast. It's hammer time.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Hamish, I'm not sure if this came up in your review on Monday about why you might have had the slow start. This is what Dits had to say to Jackson Trengove a couple of weeks ago.
I don't normally talk about it this far out, Roo, but Jackson, I will need some finals tickets, just a few.
No!
Shouldn't have done that, Dits.
No! I
just want to get in early.
No!
You've just jinxed yourselves.
No, I haven't. No. I'm confident.
Oh, if you lose on Saturday, Jackson, blame
Dits. Yeah, I will blame Dits on that one, but
no, Dits, you should never do that.
It's far too
tight. You've resisted all year.
That was last week from Darwin, and I've been the one pumping
means I'm
up
right
Port's
behind
tires.
Them. I
said you could win the flag earlier on in the year. You said, no, don't listen to him, Jackson. He's just trying to get in your head.
Mm.
And then you've asked for finals tickets last week. Out of the blue, against Melbourne.
Hammer, means I'm right behind you, I believe.
Clearly, there's only one man to blame, Rue, isn't
there? Oh. Yeah, that's right.
About what happened on the weekend.
Did Ken Hedley say anything about this? Because you two were on thin ice a little bit last year.
We're on speaking
as
terms.
As a playing group, you know, stay focused, you know, week by week, all that sort of stuff.
And then
when we hear
media
some of our most passionate, loyal supporters saying, yeah, get us bloody tickets to finals, grand finals, rah, rah. Mm.
See, they respect you, Dits.
Subconsciously.
They take that as... Oh, we're there.
Gospel.
We're already
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah,
we've
yeah.
done enough.
Righto. I want to ask you a hard question here, right? I want to ask you a really
Have you got any tickets?
Difficult question.
Have you really got any tickets?
No.
I thought we were through that.
I think Ken and I had a bit of a set to on air. And the interesting thing was, actually, it was I sort of mentioned your name.
Can you mention the context?
I'll tell you what happened. So it was after Port had an absolute shocker against Sydney.
Yep, I remember that game.
And he made one change and it was Paul Stewart.
Right.
Now, I then went on the next week on air, I'm talking to Ken Hinckley on air before the game, and I said, now, how did you arrive at that decision? Why drop Paul Stewart? I said, why not drop, you know, a big name player that's out of form? He goes, well, give me a name. I said, it's not my deal. He goes, no, come on then. You make these big statements. Give me a name. I went, Hamish Hartlett. No, just...
Thanks, mate.
I know. That's why I'm raising Hamish. It with you. No, my psychologist said I've got to confront these issues. You got to go to this. But anyway,
I've got
a couple of questions for you.
What the consequences might be?
I've got a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
So first one, he said to me, quite rightly said, he wasn't even playing. Now there's the extent of my football knowledge.
You've done your homework.
I went, right, okay. Well, maybe not him then. Right. But no. So my question to you is, someone like me on air says something like that. What's that like for you as a player?
Be honest. If you hear it at the time or during the week?
I think as a player, like you're pretty aware of how well or how well you're not going, how well you are going or how well you're not going, right? So You know, a lot of us are realists, and you know, even probably just over a month ago, I was in the same boat. You know, thinking, you know, I'm every chance not to be playing this week. I would be playing in the Maggies. So when you hear those types of comments from outside sources, you know, generally they're pretty warranted. There are a lot of people that make comments when they don't really understand individual roles or how the team is supposed to be playing as a whole, and they look at stats on the weekend and say, oh, so-and-so only had, you know, 10 touches or a dozen touches or whatever, you know, drop him or whatever. And they make statements like that, which
are annoying
and frustrating, and because they don't understand the ins and outs of everyone's game. But, yeah.
Well, you probably don't like, even if you're honest about your own form, and I understand that fully, believe me, but you probably don't like hearing someone on air go, oh, he should be dropped. And I fully get that.
Yeah.
But you got to be honest, though, don't you?
I mean, you never like getting challenged, I suppose, in that context. But as I said, a lot of us are realists. We know whether we're in good form or whether we're not, and where we might be playing the upcoming week. So that's just
now, for what it's worth, the last few weeks, I think you've been in great form.
Good on you. it's been a little bit better the last few weeks.
Yeah. No, I think you've been taking some great intercept marks at halfback. I think you're going all right.
Good man.
All right.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate
it. And Kenny,
it,
if you're listening, I think Hammer should be in the side every
week.
Well,
I'm not out with a calf injury at the moment, Ditz, so I've... There's no reason.
I'll try
to
do my homework.
Like I was last year when he tried to get me dropped. So, right.
Well, good luck against St Kilda, mate. You need to get back on track. She's pretty tight in that bottom half of the eight, and you need to get back up in the top four. So good luck against the Saints. Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. It's going to be a great game. So all the best, Hamish.
Good on you, hey, mate.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Good on you, mate.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Rui, I said a moment ago, we wouldn't normally talk about the royal family, there's a doco that'll be screened on our TVs this weekend about Lady Di, and I think it's fair to say that she was one of the popular royals. We all liked Lady Di, and it was a tragic end to her life. It was just shocking. Terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I can't understand what we said just before, that she'd only met Prince Charles 13 times before the wedding, 13 times, and then you told me it was actually an arranged marriage.
Hmm.
Is that common knowledge?
Yeah. Everyone knew at the time. Okay. Yeah. Not that they talked about it, but there you go. If she only met him 13 times, it's not exactly like they had this long love affair, did they, and decided to get married?
No, exactly. But I didn't know that until today, until reading that article.
Let's find out more. Gavin Gray is our UK correspondent. Gavin, good morning. I think it was very well known at the time, wasn't it, that all of this was fairly well arranged?
Morning, Ru. Morning, Vince. Well, I think it really depends by what you mean of an arranged marriage, in that... Yeah, yes, they didn't know each other incredibly well, but of course the pressure on the British royals was very much to marry somebody of a similar social standing and similar royalty. And Diana, well, didn't quite fit the bill, but she was the best match at that possible time because Prince Charles had it thought, friendships, possibly more with members of the royal family from other dynasties across Europe, but hadn't particularly... sort of clicked with any of them. And of course, behind all this lay, as we now know, Camilla Parker Bowles, now his wife, in the background. And there has been suggestion in the past that almost Prince Philip said, oh, for goodness sake, man, you've got to marry this Diana woman.
Mm. What about some of the other things that have come out this week? Listening to William and Harry here on our TV screens or watching them, they hadn't actually seen their mother for a month before she died in that fateful car crash, which... leads me to think that maybe she was preoccupied with her own affairs and other things rather than her children at the time. Had she actually gone off the rails?
Well, I think she was certainly very much in a giddy, heady relationship, which possibly meant that she didn't see as much of her family as she might. But let's not forget the boys themselves were, of course, dispatched off to Eton College boarding. During term time, she therefore didn't see much of them. And also, I say this as somebody who went to a boarding school myself, parents were not encouraged to actively see much of their children during term time. They weren't encouraged to be that hands-on. Now, of course, on August, early August marks the 20th anniversary of the death, and that would have been summer holidays here, school holidays. But, of course, even at that time, the children were spending a lot of time with Prince Charles, and Princess Diana and Prince Charles at that point were not really speaking or seeing a great deal of one another. So although they hadn't seen each other for a month, and yes, at that age, you know, Prince Harry, just 12, that's a staggering length of time. It isn't entirely, I would dare say, of Diana's making that the length of time was that long.
Just one other quote that apparently we will hear in the program is that she says, or she has said to a confidant, that the wedding day was the worst day of her life. I mean, that's an enormous thing to say, isn't it?
Yes, and I've heard that before, and I think that was because, I think any bride feels that huge amount of expectation. And for Diana, with millions of people following every move in the build-up to the wedding, that level of expectation and that level of anticipation would have been absolutely huge. I think there are a couple of other interesting lines in this documentary. It is also claimed that Diana went to the Queen and said, you know, your son is having an affair and it's absolutely disgraceful. And apparently the Queen said, oh, Charles is just so, you know, like this. And I think Diana, I think, thought that if she got the Queen on side, she'd be able to rein Charles in and maybe save the marriage or whatever, and perhaps became even more exasperated that it was just left, oh, that's Charles sort of comment.
Yep.
So I think Diana had seriously shaken up the royals in the first place, but any chance she thought she might have of changing them, I'm afraid, was wide of the mark.
All right. Good on you, Gavin. Thanks so much for joining us. So we're going to learn a fair bit more, I think, in this doco on the weekend.
The old Queen let it happen. Turn a
blind eye, yeah.
Come
I guess.
On, Queen.
Yeah.
Step up.
Yeah, indeed. Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Big announcement down at the mighty Camry Crows yesterday, Roo, and probably no surprise, but it's still always sad when they make these announcements.
Absolutely. One of the great players in the Adelaide Football Club's history is Scotty Thompson. He decided to hang up the boots at the end of the year and announced it yesterday, and he joins us now. Good morning, Tomo.
Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Did you cry?
No, I didn't actually. No.
Come on, Joe.
I held it together. I guess the fact that, like you said, it's probably come as no surprise. I've had the luxury of being able to talk to family and close mates about it recently, and probably got the emotional side of it out of the way well before yesterday. So held myself together in front of the boys, and
it's not easy.
And then again, chat to them. No, it's not easy. Pull myself up a couple of times, especially when you're talking to, you know, there's some people you spend a lot of time with over the years, and especially when it's family involved as well, and you're sitting there looking at them while you're talking, certainly hard to hold the emotions together at times.
Tom, I just want to read something out here, and you know, often when players announce these sorts of things, they say, oh, it hasn't really sunk in yet or whatever, but I hope one day you look back and look at this. There's Andrew McLeod, Tyson Edwards, Mark Ricciuto, Ben Hart, and now yourself, all 300-plus games for the Adelaide Crows. I mean, that's an amazing list of people when you think about it.
Yeah, look, and it's, as you said, it's something you certainly don't think about, and not all 300 of mine were at the Adelaide Footy Club like those boys. Some spent at the Melbourne Footy Club in the early days. But no, certainly once this season finishes up, I'll sit down and no doubt be proud of some of the things that have happened along the journey.
How did you know time was up, Tom? Was it playing in the AFL a few weeks ago, or was it something that's been you've been feeling all year, or even the first game of the year? Was there one particular moment when you actually said to yourself, "Gee, it might have caught up with me"?
Yeah, I pretty much approached this season knowing it was going to be my last. And then the decision was right to be made at this point in time. But little things happen along the way, and I'm sure, as you know, as good as anyone, mate, you get to a point where things that you used to find quite easy to do become that little bit more difficult, and you feel like you can't do things as comfortable as they used to be, and made the decision in the end reasonably easy, and I'm quite comfortable with where it's at right now.
I reckon you feel like you're going all right, and then you watch yourself on TV and you go, oh, geez, is that what I really look like? I don't think I've got much left in me at the moment. But, hey, mate, it still could be a fairy tale for you. I know you've been close and played. And how many prelims have you got to? Three or four?
Yeah, three losing prelims, mate, which isn't ideal. But
but they're hard to get to a granny. And look, on top of the ladder, anything can happen. We've seen in just about every grand final side, there's someone who gets in there after, you know, not having a big role to play throughout the year. So I'm sure you're still fully focused on hopefully playing a role coming to September.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm certainly not going to change the way I go about things over the coming weeks until this season's done. And that exact question you said there about fairy tales, I got asked the same thing yesterday. And, you know, and it's an interesting one, but I'll still be fully engaged. And if an opportunity presents itself, I'll no doubt be putting my hand up. But we'll see how that pans out over the coming week.
Happened for Shane Crawford back in 2008. He'd played 300, and similar amount of games to you. And his last game was a grand final, and after a long career. So it certainly can happen, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. And just said, things on my end aren't going to change. So if that was the case, it would certainly be a fairy tale finish, as you've touched on. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out.
A lot's been said about you in the gym over the years, Scotty, and a lot of people have had a bit of fun at your expense. But, Roo, I'm here to vouch for the fact that he doesn't actually know his own strength, because I played golf with him once only, Tyson Edwards, myself, Roger Rashid and Scott Thompson, and he hit a bit of a bad shot and went with the club over his knee.
He's never had a bad temper. Really.
And it snapped in two. He just didn't know. He didn't realise how strong he was. Do you remember that, Tomo, when the club snapped in two?
That just goes to show how brittle golf clubs are.
Where'd you get them from, China?
I think from memory, I was down in the bunker.
That's so right.
Spent a fair bit of time in the sand on the golf course.
Yes.
But, yeah, the shot didn't end up where I wanted it to. And I gave the club a gentle tap on the ground and for some reason ended up in half.
That's right.
Take it
back, it was faulty, I think.
Tomo, thanks for coming on today, mate. And let's hope there is a fairy tale finish coming up this season. All the best, mate. Finish off a sensational career. And I think everyone agrees you've been one of the all-time greats for Adelaide. So congratulations, mate. And look forward to seeing how the rest of the year pans out.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Appreciate the chat.
Good on you, Scotty. Well done. Scott Thompson. Now, he commentated with us a few weeks ago and did a very, very good job. I wonder if we'll get him in the box a few more times.
A little fun fact for you, too.
Yes.
Scotty Thompson, most Brownlow votes ever by a Crow.
Is that right?
He did. I think it's 155. So
more than you.
More than me. More than McLeod.
Wow.
So, well done. He certainly played consistently top-level football for a long time.
And as you heard with him there, I find he's always ready to have a laugh. And he's always smiling. He's just a real nice fella. He really is.
Yep. Very big biceps.
And a good career. Well done, Scotty Thompson.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast thanks to Southern Volkswagen at Ranella.
Interesting article in the Advertiser today on page 13 about women scared to exercise or embarrassed to exercise in public. A whopping 4 out of 10 girls, Dits, are just not comfortable going to the gym or going for a run because they're worried about what people are thinking or saying.
You're kidding.
No, 4 out of 10... which is probably not surprising, but it's not good at the same time. And at the same time, for that matter, 26% of men are in the same boat. So,
you're joking.
No, so, that's...
do you think worried about body image or worried about...
body, about image, about what they look like, perhaps.
Or am I not good enough?
Am I too slow on the treadmill? Do I know what I'm doing? Or am I sweating too much? Or is my face too red? All the different things, which is a very high number. And there's also some stats out at the moment as well, Alice, who joined us, about Australians being some of the fattest in the world, aren't we?
Yeah, around our abdominals, the spare tire of fat, we're the worst in the world for it because it's the most dangerous fat you can have.
Right, okay.
What sort of numbers? Wasn't it 80-odd% of blokes are carrying a little bit of extra... putting around the belly, is that
88%
right?
Of men and 76% of women.
88%?
Yeah.
Hell. Anyway, let's get back to the gym.
That is unbelievable.
Alice, you go to the gym.
Yep.
Are you self-conscious?
Very.
Why?
I hate the gym. I just don't like being watched doing it. If I go to a gym class, I'll always stand in the back row, no matter how many people are in there, just because I don't like people watching. I always feel like people are looking.
What do you mean a gym class? Like
a pump class or a spin class or whatever it is. I will not go to the gym and use weights or any of those machines without my personal trainer with me, because I just feel like everyone, all those gym kind of junkie men, not looking at me in a way like, oh, look at me, but, you know, am I doing it right? Have I got the wrong technique? Is
Why
everyone
you go
laughing
to girls
at me?
Gym?
Because I shouldn't have to.
No.
And there's not as many girls' gyms around.
But wouldn't
they're
you be more
to
comfortable
to?
In a women in a gym with
I
all
think
girls in there?
Girls are just as judgy as boys. I think a girl, you know,
what's a girl
judge,
judge
you on
you
your
on?
Outfit. They shouldn't, but they do.
What do they tell you? What nice outfit, Alice? Or what?
No, I think
or you're
just
it's just your perception.
Yeah, it's just girls in general. They just look you up and down every time, as much as men do.
But so what? How? Why does that affect your gym experience? Like, if you go there for half an hour to sweat up, get in the car and go home, why does it bother you that people have looked at you? Or
because it makes you self-conscious and you're on the weights and you're going, oh my gosh, is everyone looking at me because my weights are too light?
But maybe no one's looking at you.
My weights are too light. You're worried about how much you're lifting in front of other people.
Because all those guys just stand around in the weight section. It's so intimidating. There's in my gym, there's kind of like a bit for weights and all the dudes just stand around the weights. Hmm. And so for me to walk up to them, I don't know if they're using the machine. B, they just look at me like, why is a girl doing weights?
So a lot of girls thinking the same as
yes.
you are, though?
Yeah.
And what if we told you that none of that was true?
Mm.
Would that, you know, waylay your fears at
I
all?
I don't think
not?
I'd believe you.
I've never, ever at the gym seen a girl walk up next to her thing and think, why are you using that, you useless woman? Why are you doing that, you silly girl? Never, not once in my
life. In fact, you think
life.
Quite the opposite, don't you? I do.
I actually praise, in my own head, I think, good on you for having a go. Well, I'm serious.
I know, but having a go, like, she's lame just having a go.
No, I didn't mean
not.
It like that, but... I just think anyone at the gym, good on you for being there. Good on you for turning up.
What do you
up.
Think when you're driving along and you're seeing a girl or a guy for that matter, a bit overweight or whatever, going for a run?
I think it's great. They're
I
having
do
a go.
Too. Actually, you feel like you're like, keep going, you yep. know, to push them along. I never think, God, you.
All right, let's get back to an issue here as well. I mean, this is probably a side issue, but not being funny here, but you are an attractive girl. You're a gorgeous looking girl. So what if people are going to look at you? Like people are probably going to look at me and go, God, he's a fat, has been, ugly, whatever. I mean, that's isn't that what we're all about?
But why look at me and not other girls? I don't
know.
Well,
they would look at every, they'd look at every girl.
Yeah, see, girls are being looked at.
Yeah, well, that's normal.
So
that's
what
do you get dressed up for?
But it's intimidating.
Well,
like, I shouldn't have to dress up to go to the gym.
Well, don't.
You shouldn't have to dress up.
But guys look at you at the gym.
So what?
Yeah, well, you don't, who cares?
But, like, you know, I bet you guys don't like being watched on the gym. Like, if you're on a treadmill and there's
just
someone
yeah,
staring
just,
at you.
The power of your mind, you just notice. Block it out. You're not there to get, you just go
I'm
for
there
a run.
To do my workout and then go.
Nah, it's really intimidating.
So you're putting all of this on yourself. You're saying,
I
better dress up because they're looking at me. Or I better. No one's doing anything. We're all just there.
So what if you went for a run out in the street?
Well, probably about once a week if I take my dog for a walk, because I walk him every day. I don't run anymore because I feel like I don't run very well, so people will laugh
so
at me.
So your mind's it's, playing tricks with you.
Well, yeah, but then I'll probably get yelled at or wolf whistled once a week, and then you go, oh, well, people are watching.
So
but where do you want to, what do you want to do?
Hang on,
go
hang
to
on.
A cave or something and work out?
If you get
yes.
wolf whistled at,
yes.
right, surely that is a compliment. Surely blokes driving past are going, God,
even though you
hot.
Might not like it.
I think it's a bit derogatory. I hate it. I always like look down and just go, oh, please go away.
So the fact that they go, oh, you're a good-looking girl and you're hot,
but
yeah, that's terrible,
but I don't think they're
wolf-whistling
because they can't even see me. Like, they're on the road.
Oh,
I think it's
on.
More of a...
Of course they can see you. That's why they wolf-whistle.
Yeah, but like,
most of the
I'm just
time
out
they'd
enjoying
only be
a walk
fun between
with my
the
dog.
Two blokes in the car.
Yeah, why should I have to put up with that if I'm just walking my dog?
So what are you going to do? Just never exercise ever again in
no,
your whole
I do
life?
Exercise a lot. I'm just saying, you guys ask me if I'm self-conscious, and I am.
Well,
because like 40% of the rest of the world.
I'm here to tell you, I don't think you've got anything to worry about at the gym. Yes, I'm sure there are blokes that look at you and say, oh, she's nice.
Mm.
And that's the extent of it.
Well, then this article, where's this article come from then, if everyone's feeling it, not just me?
No, I was saying 4 out of 10 are
we're
like
here
that.
To help. We're saying you shouldn't
oh,
feel
so
like that.
Thanks so much. It's so
relax,
lovely
girls.
Of you guys.
Yeah, relax. Yeah.
Let's go, girls.
Work out, sweat, do everything you want to do and get into it.
All right, is that better now, Alice?
Oh, I feel so great.
Good,
thanks
good,
so
good.
Much.
All
where
right.
would
Claire,
I be without
you
two? Yeah.
7:20, well, we don't charge for this.
104.7 Triple M.
7:25. Now, Roo, I think in general, if we mention the royal family, a lot of people listening to this show would just yawn and go, no interest. But this doco that's coming out this weekend about Lady Di, some of the revelations are quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're going across to Gavin Gray. For example, you were shocked this morning to learn that Di had only met Charles 13 times before they got married.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound right.
No.
So
we're going to find out more in just a moment. We've got a caller, by the way, Ruben from Port Adelaide. Good morning, Ruben. How are you?
How you going, guys?
Good, Ruben.
What would you like to say?
on the situation about going to the gym.
Yep.
Well, at my heaviest, I was 280 kilos.
280 wow. kilos?
Yeah, yeah. I was 6'4". It was 280 kilos. I was still playing a bit of basketball.
Wow.
But it got a bit too much for me. And I was going to the gym constantly. And the reason I stopped going is because people take photos of you. They snigger at you. They laugh at you.
You're joking.
No, I'm dead serious. They sit with their mates and they laugh and point at you. And it got to the point where I just wanted to throw weights at people. And I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Those people
Sorry about that, Ruben. Yeah, because
that's ridiculous.
I have always admired people that just get there and have a go. I really have. Hey, Ruben, what's your situation right now? When you say that was your heaviest, have you managed to get some of the weight off?
Yeah, mate. I ended up going to, I had to have it in Melbourne because there wasn't a surgical bench here for me at my size.
Yeah.
But I had lap band surgery and I'm down almost 60 kilos.
Well done. Good start. Well done, mate. Well done.
And what's your target? What do you want to get to?
I reckon around 110-ish. I'm a thick sort of set guy anyway, so if I got under 100 kilos, I'd look a bit weird.
Keep us posted, Ruben.
Mate, ring us when you get to 110.
What's that?
Ring us along the way.
Ring us at 150.
All right, ring us, a couple of milestones. 150, and let's hope you can ring us when you're down to 110 as well.
No dramas, guys, I will.
Good on you.
And anyone doing that, mate, just block it out and keep on with your goal. Keep thinking positive and you'll get there, buddy.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, some breaking news here in Adelaide. This is massive.
Yeah, great news for more development in the construction
jobs.
Industry and people who like the casino and like restaurants and bars. The Adelaide Casino, this has been talked about for a very long time, Dits, but looks like it's coming to fruition. A $330 million development with the Adelaide Casino. So more bars, more hotel rooms, a real upgrade. And this is great news for that whole Riverbank precinct, which has had a lot of money spent on a already, and there's a lot more to come. Probably nearly $1 billion worth of money that's going to be poured in there with the Lang Hancock development and the government money for the festival centre, and the convention centre's had a bucket load of money spent on it. It is going to be Flash Harry through there in the next couple of years.
So it's got the green light. It'll be announced, just after 9 o'clock this morning. They're
thousand
fronting the
jobs,
media. 1,000 jobs. Big casino upgrade. And, Rui, when you look at, so there's Adelaide Oval, the footbridge, festival centre's being upgraded. Now this.
And the convention
centre. We're getting conventions from all over the world. Look, for all the doom and gloom, that area is putting us on the map. It's doing well. And so for people that are anti-casino, please look at it as the whole picture. There'll be more hotel rooms, as you said, more bars and restaurants. And what a precinct of entertainment when you go to the footy or anything you attend at the Adelaide Oval. So,
well, hopefully we'll be attracting a lot of people from interstate and overseas as well to come to Adelaide and spend their hard-earned money in Adelaide instead of Melbourne or Sydney.
Mm. Great news. The other thing that we've just heard as well, this story about the father of Mark Philippoussis, this isn't good.
Yeah, this is horrible news. Quite the opposite to what we just dropped about Adelaide. But Nick Philippoussis has been charged in the United States for child abuse charges. So very, very terrible news, and just makes you angry, makes you frustrated, makes you sad. Imagine being Mark for starters, the parents of the kids or anything like that.
So I think he's in his late 60s. He's been working as a tennis coach for the last couple of years in San Diego.
Yep, and Mark's got a son as well, and he's already said stuff on Father's Day and pictures of him with his son, and just horrible stuff.
Nah, it is. 8:28, it's Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Ru, just a heads up. I need to warn the men of Adelaide, of South Australia. In fact, this goes nationwide, really, but tonight, I think it's 7:30, but it might be 8:30. 7:30. Thank you, Alice. I knew she'd know. Batchy.
What?
This is what I got from my wife last night.
What do you mean, batchy?
Don't organise anything, because I had the audacity to say to her, right, I've organised, as usual, Wednesday night tea with the kids. We'll go to a pub somewhere. Well, did I cop a dressing down. You idiot, she said. Batchy.
It's grand final day
back
for women,
on.
Isn't it?
Unbelievable. So, as I said to you earlier, look, I could do cartwheels nude around the lounge room tonight and no one will notice me. And now, Kate will be there with her sister and her niece, and they'll be, so I've got a house full of girls tonight.
What do they do tonight?
I could stand naked, you know, with a pot plant or something, mm-hmm. and they would be oblivious because Batchy is on. Bachelor, we're talking about.
And it's back tonight for a new, back new tonight. Series.
So to the men out there, you'll get nothing out of your missus for an hour tonight. Zero. And the build-up probably. Good well, 2 hours.
Why don't you try and do something nice to them? Maybe offer no point. The cooked tea beforehand?
No
or...
point. They will take no notice.
Before?
Oh, they have the pre-game. They talk about, you know, what do you think will happen and how
do
will
they get
it go?
On the champers or anything tonight?
Yes. Bit of champagne and some nibbles. There'll be nibbles as
nibbles.
Well. Yeah.
Someone maybe has I should to bring a plate.
Maybe I should hand around the nibbles.
Do that.
There you go.
So the Batchy's on tonight.
It's on.
This is a show that you actually fell in love with last series. You did.
I did. Don't no, 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 I did not.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
For the 1 hour a week, I allowed my wife to have, because to be fair, and you're the same, we commandeer the TV for the whole weekend and probably every other
you
day.
More than one TV, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we'd like to do things together. So anyway, tonight, fellas, I'm just warning you. Hey, what about Ninja Warrior, Roo?
Well, Ninja Warrior, which I haven't been watching too much. I've watched a little bit, and the kids have really enjoyed it. And to be honest, I didn't mind the parts that I watched as well. But last night, they had 2.7 million people watch that across Australia, which is massive numbers. Mm. Friday Night Football has about a million.
Yeah.
The AFL Grand Final has about 3 million, I think.
Mm.
So 2.7 is unbelievably large. It's huge. So all tuned in to see who was going to win Ninja Warrior.
And who did win?
Nobody.
What do you mean?
They didn't have a winner. Apparently no one finished the course.
Well, the course was too hard.
You're only getting this second hand from me. I didn't watch it, but I think no one finished, so no one won.
You've got to be kidding.
So they said...
Gee, what an anti-climax.
We'll just catch you back here next year, guys.
Is that how they signed off?
I presume that's how they did it, but didn't...
well, that's a bit embarrassing.
Carl Stefanovic say that the course needed to be a bit easier?
Yeah.
For the women?
No, maybe Carl was right.
Maybe Carl was right. Maybe they need to be easier for both. No winner. And 2.7 million. It's like watching a drawn granny. Sort of, isn't it?
Yeah. Very deflating.
Mm.
All right.
You think they'd have the fastest one. Even if you don't finish the course, you can, you know, the one who gets closest is the winner. But, ninja. You have to be full-blown ninja to win.
Mm.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for Southern Volkswagen. Main South Road, Ranella.
They're closer than you think.
104.7 Triple M.